Wendy's Coffee House. There's too much information to squeeze into one show. This time it's a two-parter. And this is what happens when you talk with somebody who's a contactee, who's also had near-death experiences and a whole lot of other paranormal anomalies throughout their life. All right, there's more to the story, and we are not going to get into it by any means completely. Miriam Galler is Amaya. We'll start with her contact with other beings and what they've told her.
The first ones that came were the beings from the Large Magellanic Cloud. And they came in here because they said that we're all in one field, and whatever is going on this planet is radiating through the field, and these beings can sense it, and it was disturbing them. And they came to investigate to see what the hell is going on.
Okay, so there's the sample of what's happening with the beings and the kind of information that Amaya gets. Miriam, some of it she calls transmissions. I have some of that. She's forwarded her information to me so I can share that. And we get into more of that during this interview. But right now, we're going to go into the backstory about Amaya. And Miriam is going to fill us in.
When Amaya was here, I don't know, millions of years ago, or thousands of, I don't know how long ago. What they told me was that Amaya and all the other beings that were here were creating a magnetic field around this planet that would be conducive to life to develop. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if that's real or not. That's kind of out there. But okay, that's what they told me. Well, and then recently I read that, you know, that what NASA wants to do in Mars is create a magnetic field around the planet to be able to support life. And I said, oh, I guess it's not far-fetched then. But that's what she did. And, you know, life started to create, to manifest. This is when the planet was ready to you know, support life. Not too hot, not too cold. There was water, there was air. And life started to come out, and the intention was to create a human being that was a more spiritual type of being that would be the caretaker of this life here, in a loving way, supporting, not destructive, cooperating, not competing, And evolution has to take its own speed to create something that can accommodate that. And when Homo erectus came in, wasn't exactly evolved enough to be a highly spiritual, high energy being. And these other beings showed up, and they took Amaya, stopped everything, and said, we take it from here. These beings are good enough for us. We want to establish life here. And I called those beings, which were dark and destructive, what they left here was their legacy. So I call them the legacy. And the legacy, the intention of them was to, as Homo erectus mated and made babies, they would come in as their spirit, their essence, their soul. And that way they would perpetuate their lower vibration, dark, negative existence. Amaya at that time was a composite being. I saw what they did to her. They took an actual being and started adding different energies to her to create this being. And there were what I call star beings and other life forms here helping. And when the legacy wanted to get rid of Amaya, they separated all the components, and everybody intervened and tried to stop them. And they instead agreed to throw her into a human form, and she would be trapped in there as a human form. And as a human, you can't do much. And all the other star beings came and also occupied human forms to try to help her. She became trapped in this cycle of incarnation because they called in this being, and I made a drawing of him that they call it the keeper. He would keep Amaya from leaving when this when a life ended and the soul leaves, he would be there and would immediately smother her, and she couldn't go anywhere, and she'd come back in another body. So the legacy, you can see the legacy through history, how humans are, you know, destructive, the wars, the killing for no reason. Humans are the only beings that kill for no reason. I mean, animals kill because they're hungry or for survival.
Territory,
humans
yeah.
kill just because they kill. Who knows why? They just kill. They're and you know, and because of the nature of humans, there is also a lot of what I call, what people now call the generational emotional patterns that get passed on from generation to generation. And there's a lot of pain, there is a lot of darkness, and that just keeps amplifying, and that's all you have now. And so going back to the former number 45, I do shamanic drumming at least once a month to, you know, for whatever people need. And we eventually drummed for every month for the darkness to leave, for light to come in, you know, to stop all the crazy abusive stuff that was happening. And at one time I saw what was inside that man was pure black energy. There was absolutely no light whatsoever inside of him. And so I asked the beings that were here with me at the time, I said, what can we do here? And they told me what I posted in 2017, that he is the legacy itself. And this is what he's going to leave behind. And he incites the legacy out of people, you know, the darkness out of people. You can see his followers are totally insane, in my view. And so, but they have been telling me that this is actually necessary for all the darkness to come to the surface so that everybody can see it and it can be then taken care of. And I compared that to cleaning your house. If you're really going to clean your house, you have to pull everything out of the way and look what's behind and all the cobwebs, the stuff that's been there for years, and clean it up. And you know, the same with the refrigerator. You can't just do a light thing in front of the refrigerator. You got to take everything out to see what's behind, what's rotting, and wipe it out. It's the same thing. So if you want to get rid of the darkness, we have to let it come out. So the reason these beings are here is because I think was, let's see, today is this 2021. I think it was 2018 or 19, either one. When they showed up, the first ones that came were the beings from the Large Magellanic Cloud. And they came in here because they said that we're all in one field, and whatever is going on this planet is radiating through the field. And these beings can sense it, and it was disturbing them. And they came to investigate to see what the hell is going on. And then, obviously, they can see us through our energy, and they found me. We started to communicate, and their idea was that if they cleaned up the field, that would be fine. And I said, well, it's not that simple, because, yeah, the energy, the dark energy, the you know, the wars, the pain, the violence, the whatever is in the field, but it's also in the humans. It's also in the planet because of all the wars. It's just the planet absorbs all that. It's in there. So we have to do a total, you know, you have to address all levels. And they said, well, we don't interfere with humans. We can only work with the field. And I said, well, what do you want me to do then? Well, we have others that can work in other areas. And so they've been working and working and working since they showed up here, and they have been calling more and more. And for a while, I think it was 2019, there was quite a few sightings of spaceships and different things around here. And they told me that they would be coming because those types of beings, those are the ones that can work with humans. They didn't. I said, okay. And so they sometimes come by, they flash the light and they look and they stay and then they disappear. I said, okay, well, they're just saying hi. And they've been saying lately that, well, let's see, the election was 2020. In July of 2020, the Galactic Council of Light came in and said it was going to get increasingly worse. And things were going to start happening, and for me not to concern myself with it, that's the actual progression of what's going to happen until all the darkness comes out and then it can be dissolved. And I said, well, how long was until something? They predicted that something was going to happen. And I said, well, when? I said, in Earth time, when? And they told me 6 months. 6 months was December. Well, it happened January 6th. And I said, oh, wow. And then they came and they said, there is much more to come. And I can't post that on Facebook. You know, one, people are going to start telling me I'm inciting violence or whatever. And it's like, no, I can't post that.
A question, because someone listening to you right now might be interested. Yeah. Would you send me an email, and I will post it? You know, that way whoever's listening, I can post the message related to this conversation on the blog.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. It's going to be a long one, but I can do that. You can copy paste it in there.
If you don't mind, yeah, that way I can.
No, I don't mind. I've been wanting to put this out there, but I just haven't found a place to do it because this is the thing. Since I was a kid, that there was something wrong with me because I always felt different from everything and everyone. You know, my childhood was very abusive. It was a very abusive entire environment. And as a protection, I just tended to stay invisible. And I pretty much could sense what's going on. So, you know, if it feels that something is going to turn ugly towards me, I'd just go into the bedroom and, you know, just sit there and did nothing. But I can sense when people are lying. I know things. Mm-hmm. And I used to have premonition dreams, and I used to just say things out of the blue that I had no idea where they're coming from. And I've always seen what they call the shadow figures. I've always seen other beings, and I kept it to myself because I couldn't talk to anybody. But in Brazil, you know, where everything is people there are more open to spirits and mediumship and psychic stuff. And so it wasn't so bad. I could deal with that. But I can tell when people are really what they call channeling or just making it up.
Yes.
I can feel it. I can feel the whole thing. So I've always been that way. And when I came to the United States a few years later, I found a place in Southern California where somebody just kept insisting I go there. I said, no, I don't want to go there. They insisted I went, and I said, okay, yeah, this is where I belong. This is what I do. This is me. It was a healing, it's called Healing Light Center, where she taught healing and stuff. And the first time I put my hands on somebody, I said, oh, I know this. I've been doing this all my life. Mm-hmm. This is me. And I just do that. And I do stuff that most people just they want to label it something else because it's just something that nobody does. And a long time ago, somebody who's now a well-known astrologer in Mount Shasta, when she was just beginning, I had a reading over the phone with her, and she said, "I can see here in the chart that you can do. You're a healer." And you can do things that nobody can. You can treat mental illness. You can treat terminal diseases. You can do all kinds of stuff. I said, yeah, I've been doing that for quite a while. And so that was just a validation thing. And this is what I've been doing all my life. And And the stuff that I write is stuff that comes from me and through me. And a lot of people get spooked because it's like only Jesus can do that. And I said, okay, but if you read your Bible, Jesus said that you too can do this.
Yeah,
no,
right. Absolutely.
Not just him. Yeah. So, but people got spooked and some people were angry and attacking me. And it's like, okay, I'm just doing my thing. I don't want to be famous. I don't want, you know, I wrote a couple of booklets and one I self-published. I don't want to still sitting here and I didn't publish, but it's all stuff that I can't really talk about it out there because I don't feel like explaining myself to anybody. This is what I am. This is what I do. I have a purpose for being here. And when I just do my thing, but I've always wanted to find a place where I can talk about this to people that are not going to turn around and say, you're this, you're that, you're crazy. And, you know, I've been there.
People who are in some way, shape, or form sensitives, psychic, mediums, healers, mm-hmm. and they've discovered this, whether they've had an out-of-body experience, a near-death experience, or transformational spiritual encounter, something, an STE, they have that same, what you're expressing, that same feeling of, I don't understand why people don't get this bigger picture and that we're all connected and everything that you do comes back to you. They have that same feeling that you're describing.
And one thing that I've always tried to do, it's not that I'm a chameleon, but I try to blend in and explain to people things that, like, for example, I when I lived in Washington State, I worked in a Mormon's office, a total Mormon. I was an architect by training and by profession. And I worked in a place in Yakima, Washington. They were very fundamentalist. The owners of the place were Mormons, and there were some other types of fundamentalist people there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a secretary there. She was an older lady. And I went to her to get something either mailed or sent somewhere. And she was like, you know, cringing. I said, what's wrong with you? And she says, oh, I woke up, my neck is, I can't even turn. It hurts so bad. And I said, may I? And she said, sure. And so I put my hand on her neck, and I can feel the energy, and I'm slowly moving it, and it released. And she says, oh, wow, what you doing? I said, well, I'm taking a course in Swedish massage. I just learned that last night. What am I going to say to her, you know? But, no, I actually was taking a Swedish massage course. Mm-hmm. And so I just said that. And I did that to another guy in front of everybody. I used to work with him, and I told him I was doing massage. And he sent his wife to get massages with me every week. And I was during break, and everybody's out there in the break room, and he is like, oh, ow. And I said, what's wrong? And he says, oh, my shoulder. I said, well, AI? He says, sure. I put my hand on him, and within 30 seconds, the pain disappeared. Nobody said a thing, you know. I just did it.
Yeah.
But I can't explain what I'm doing because then they start going crazy. I just come up with, well, you know, like I worked on a woman that was a born-again Christian. I was doing stuff at a naturopathic's office, and he knew what I did. And there was a homeopathic doctor and a chiropractor there, and he calls me home and says, well, I have this client. I've been working on her for a year. And she came in this morning. She's crying on stop. I don't know what to do. Can you come and help? And I said, sure. And he says, but I have to tell you, she's a born-again Christian. I said, okay. So I go there, and I said, did Dr. So-and-so tell you what we're doing? She says, well, he says you can help me. I said, okay. Well, you have kids? And she says, yeah. And I said, all right. So, you know, when your baby is colicky and you put him in your lap and you just touch, you know, rub his tummy or hold him and love him and he feels better. She says, yeah. And I said, well, that's what I do. I'm going to love you until you feel better. And she says, oh, okay. And I said, just lie down on the table, close your eyes and breathe. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to send you lots of love. Well, within 25 minutes, you know, she was, she opened her eyes. She says, oh my God, I feel so much better. And she got up and she said, and to think that I spent a whole year going to that naturopathic doctor and you helped me in 30 minutes.
Miriam Galler is my guest, amayashaman.com. That's the website. You can find out about more of her healing abilities, also services that she offers, and storytelling. Wendy's Coffee House. Wendy's Coffee House. Hi there, I'm Wendy. Okay, it's really hard to put a label on Miriam, all right? She's a contactee. She's an experiencer. She's a near-death experiencer. All of that and more. Here is what she shared with me.
I do healing in my sleep and other places. I see people in their meetings and stuff. And then when I tell them, it says, well, you weren't there. I said, I know, I saw it in my sleep. And they freak. Mm-hmm. It's like, sorry, I'm not trying to, you know?
Picking up with the doctor's response after sending a patient to Miriam and Miriam basically healing the person in a very short amount of time, what was his response again?
Oh, he was mad because she wasn't going to go back to him anymore.
Oh, darn. Like, okay, well.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. I had a psychiatrist friend that would send me his people in Colorado, in Grand Junction. And I never met him, but he kept sending me people. And I was doing past life regression therapy that I combined with energy work and stuff. And I helped a gal that he told me in two sessions. Then he sent me somebody else. And one day he shows up and he says, you know who I am? I said, no. And he said his name. And I said, oh, you're the doctor. Why are you sending me people? You're so fiery. He says, because I'm a Reiki master and I can't do that at the hospital. I'll lose my license.
Yeah.
So I send it to you. And I said, oh my God. And he wanted a session and I did. And he kept sending other people. And it's like, wow, that doesn't happen every day. But he knew what I could do.
Right.
And it didn't question. But most people, they either freak out or they want to manufacture another explanation for what happened because they just can't comprehend. They can't accept it. And so I don't say much about me at all. I just say, I just do healing. I work with energy.
Yeah.
And yeah. Your own energy knows exactly what you need and it's already communicating and I'm just a conduit and I do what needs to be done. And that's what I tell them, but it's not really what I do.
Your story started as a child. You had the cord around your neck. Okay, so let's go into the NDE, those issues, and then your ET experiences, because that's also part of this puzzle.
It actually started in this lifetime. It started, you know, with the family I was born into. I was not wanted. My mother married my father after they finished architectural school. And then he came to Berkeley, California for a master's degree. And pretty much she didn't see him for 2 years. And when he went back, obviously, you know, he's the husband, she's the wife, and he wanted to have sex and she didn't want it. And she basically raped her. And that's how I was born. And the reason I know that is because I had a whole year of past life regression. And that's how I saw, I regressed to the moment of birth, or conception. And so she didn't want that pregnancy, and she tried to abort me. And in those days, in 1951, you know, there was no way to do it. And apparently she drank some tea or something that didn't happen, and then she was, I saw it. I was there. I regressed it. I saw it, you know, how she beat up on her belly to try to get me to leave. And it didn't happen. So, and whatever she did at time of birth, I was, I had the cord, you know, wrapped around my neck and I was a blue baby. And I didn't know that because for years and years, I couldn't wear a turtleneck. I couldn't wear anything around my neck and I couldn't breathe. And, when I had that's life regression therapy, I regressed to that point. And that problem of wearing turtlenecks went away.
Wait a minute. I can hear. Hold on a second. The dog is barking because he's got another. That's going to be really loud. So,
well, I've got a dog too, and I got a squirrel running on the roof, and the dog wants to go outside and bark at him.
Okay, yeah, okay. So you know how that goes, yeah. Like, okay, oh, yeah, yeah. I will have to edit that part. I'll have to edit that part. So,
oh no, that actually adds a little spicy.
I know. It's like makes okay, it more, just a little color.
Yeah,
a little color. As long as he didn't. If he didn't drown you out, we're good. But yeah, he's got a companion dog who's been outside playing. So it's a matter of whether he's going to continue barking when she comes in. Right now, he's distracted by me talking.
That's okay. Like, my dog wants to. He's trying to go out to bark at the squirrel, so he's going to be whining for a while.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, this squirrel's out there right now. I could really go. Okay.
Yeah, that's what he does. He goes outside and barks, and then he looks at me and barks like, can't you see? Can't you see the squirrel?
Yes. I rock. I'm so cool. Yeah, so I knew that.
I know.
Bark was coming. Okay, so yeah, she's now.
So anyway, that was, was the beginning. And I come to a family where, things weren't going well between my parents, and I was not wanted at all. And according to my grandmother and according to other past life regressions I had, the two of them fought like cats and dogs. She would throw all the dishes at him and break them all against the wall. And I had a regression where they were fighting, screaming, and throwing things at each other. And I just crawled in a corner and just stayed there. And my father was a sick man, I'm sorry to say. I don't know what it was about him, but he had this obsession over me, and he molested me as a baby. And then when my parents divorced, one time he came to pick me up, and my grandmother didn't know that he never told my mother he was coming to pick me up, and he didn't tell anybody he was drunk either. And my grandmother let me go, and he raped me in the car, and I was 3.5 years old. And he was drunk and hit a post, and I hit through the window and left my body. He just left me for dead. And so all I remember is that night I was lying on like a changing bed or something, my grandmother one side, my mother on the other side, arguing over me. And I'm facing a window, and I'm looking out, and this roaring fire outside. And I kept saying, fire, and they're arguing, fire, and they're arguing. By the third time, they finally looked, and we ran out. We lived in a villa type, little houses right next to each other in a U-shape, and call them villas. And the whole place, the whole villa burnt down. And I'm standing out there in between my mother and grandmother and watching that. And I wasn't afraid. To me, there was something about the fire. I connected with it immediately. And from there, we had to move somewhere else. And but I somehow understood things differently from that day on. Because by now, I'm 3.5, my brain is developing, I'm starting to make associations, I'm starting to understand things a little better, and I'm starting to feel things differently and understand from a different perspective. See, my mother is a single mother for most of her life. She did meet another guy, had another kid with him, but he was married, so the whole thing was a little complicated. And she was always working, so my grandmother raised me, and she was never there. And my grandmother was from Ukraine and married a Russian guy, so she had a lot of that kind of folk-type mysticism in her and superstitions and whatever. And from her mother's side, from the photographs that I've seen, and from later on, from a Japanese guy that read my hand, and he knew nothing about me. He told me my ancestors go way back into Mongolia. And then I saw a photograph of her mother, and I said, yeah, she's definitely from there. So that's in my DNA. That's where the shaman thing comes from. also, I've always been in touch with other beings and what people call ETs and whatever beings they are. And that's been my life. Always, like somebody says, oh, you walk in two worlds. I said, no, I walk in all worlds at the same time. I do. It's not fun. I do. But that's me. I'm used to it. And so, you know, when I go to sleep, I go places. I do healing in my sleep and other places. I see people in their meetings and stuff. And then when I tell them, it says, well, you weren't there. I said, I know. I saw it in my sleep. And they freak. Mm-hmm. It's like, sorry, I'm not trying to, you know, but I was there. And I've always done all kinds of stuff in my sleep and even at work. I learned a lot of stuff from teachers, living and non-living teachers. And I've also learned things on my own. There was always something about Native American people that I was drawn to as a kid. And when I first came here to the United States, they were all over the place. All the spirits are all over the place. And they kept calling me sister. I said, I'm not your sister. I don't have any Native American blood. And they kept saying, you're one of us. I said, all right, okay, whatever you say. But they've always been with me. And then there are other beings that come, all the beings that have been with me forever. So to go back to the beginning, as I said, the beginning of this life is this. But before I came into this life, all the lives I've always had, I was either a healer, or a herbalist in the Middle Ages, which that is a witch, or a wizard apprentice, or, you know, always doing this kind of stuff, always doing healing, always predicting stuff, always doing stuff that nobody else knew. And so that's my essence. That's what I am. And every life that I come in, I it's related, you know, that's what I eventually do. But this life in particular, when I was a little kid, I knew nothing about incarnation or reincarnation or nothing. And I said out loud, I was about six, and I said, this is my last life here. I'm not coming back, period. I'm not coming back here. And so my understanding now as an adult is when this is your last incarnation, this life then is extremely karmic. You can't leave any loose ends if you don't want to come back. So you have to finish everything. Mm-hmm. And so if this is who I am, if Amaya is who I am, then I have to become Amaya this life. I have to do everything. I have to take care of all the human stuff so that I don't need to come back as a human and I can be Amaya again. Forever. Let's see, I've always had beings coming and going. And in 1990, I believe, or 95, yeah, 1990 is when I moved from Southern California to Washington State based on a dream that I had that was calling me there. And that's when, you know, a bunch of stuff started to happen, a lot of Native Americans, a lot of spirits, a lot of stuff. And from there, I moved to Arizona. And I used to dream. I used to see where I was going. And I saw exactly where I was going. And when I arrived, I said, oh, my God, this is my dream. I moved to a place sight unseen. And I got there and said, oh, my God, this is exactly what I saw in my dream. And I got there. And within 3 days, this thunderstorm and rain came in. It was horrific. I was sitting there in my little mobile home and the thing didn't end. It went on nonstop for a whole 24 hours. And I had all these Native American spirits sitting around in my little living room. And I said, what is going on here? And they said, you brought the rain. And I said, no, I didn't. Oh, yes, you did. And I said, well, we need to stop it then because I need to take the dog out. And there is a foot of water sitting out there outside. So anyway, when it finally, that storm was stationed over my place and wouldn't move. Wow. It just wouldn't move. And So it finally started to move. And that place was very, very much connected. It was some kind of a vortex. It was very much connected to all kinds of energies. This was in Arizona. And
what part of Arizona were you in?
The geographic center of Arizona is Camp Verde.
Camp Verde. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I lived right across, right just about 700 yards from the Verde River. And then the other side is the Apache Reservation. Mm. And so when I finally was ready to move out of there, I was moving to New Mexico. I asked somebody to come help me. And the day of that we're loading the U-Haul, all of a sudden it went from sunny to overcast and it started to snow. The wind was howling and then started to snow and then thunder and lightning through the snow. And this guy looks at me and says, "What the hell did you do?" I said, "I didn't do anything." But, you know, and it's like, whoa, I didn't do anything. And it's just been like that. All my life, it's been like that. And that's my life. I'm used to this kind of stuff. So then, I think it was in 1995, I was standing in my living room. I was still in Arizona. And this energy came through me. And it was so thick and so intense. And it pulled me out of my body. And it says, "You need to start working." And I said, "I am working." "No, you need to start working." "But I am working." And he says, "Do you know who you are?" I said, "No, why don't you tell me?" "No, it's for you to find out." Oh, and then he left and I came back into my body and oh, I couldn't fit in my body. It was horrible. It just started to get more intense from there. And I moved around a lot and eventually I ended up coming back to California, to Northern California. And in 2005, as I was living in Sacramento, I had a little puppy, and she was reluctant to walk on the grass, so I had to put on a leash and take her outside. It was 11 o'clock at night to go do her thing before we go to bed. And I'm standing under this really big tree, and I'm waiting for her to go do something. And all of a sudden, my head just slowly moved up. And there was this gigantic, huge, triangular shape. It was dark, and it had three or four lights underneath. And it just was totally still, no sound, still up there. And I was like this magnetically drawn to it. And I'm standing, I'm looking. And there was no words or anything. It's just this connection. This real direct connection. And I wasn't afraid of it or anything. I was just looking. And when they stopped whatever communication was going on an energy level, they slowly started to move forward, really slow. And they went just a few, maybe 100 yards. Well, not even that much. Slowly. And then all of a sudden they went to the left, a 90-degree left, fast and disappeared.
Marian Galler, and there is a part two, so we've got more content to cover. In the meantime, though, she's going to send me some of her transmissions, and you can call it channeling, you can call it transmissions, downloads. Marian is sharing some of that with me. I'm going to post it on the blog, and that is Conscious Living and Talking to Night Lights. I'll post the links in the description for the show. If you're just wanting to follow, Google Wendy's Coffee House, Talking to Night Lights. It'll pick up the WordPress blog site. All right, that's where I'm going to post these things. And again, this is what someone gets when they're tuned in and sometimes getting contact from ETs, interdimensionals, transdimensionals, others. I don't know that we actually have the ability to apply a specific label because some of this is so foreign to our concept of being, of thinking. And some people think it's just you connecting with your own higher source, your higher power, your insight. A way of checking the information is finding out if it gives you something that is concrete, that you can validate, some information that does have a way for you to corroborate what you're getting. One way or the other, It explores the reality beyond what we see on the physical plane. And Miriam does have a website. It's amayashaman.com, so you can follow along there as well. We'll pick up where we left off in the next installment. Wendy's Coffee House. Hey, thanks for listening.